Chapter 3. So, said the hermit, after a momentary silence, unclasping the bars by which he had previously held, and seating himself behind them on the ledge of the window, with his bare legs and feet crouched up, you know I like to be seen. Mr. Traveler looked about him for something to sit on, and, observing a billet of wood in a corner, brought it near the window. Deliberately seating himself upon it, he answered, just so. Each looked at the other, and each appeared to take some pains to get the measure of the other. Then you have come to ask me why I lead this life, said the hermit, frowning in a stormy manner. I never tell that to any human being. I will not be asked that. Certainly you will not be asked that by me, said Mr. Traveler, for I have not the slightest desire to know. You are an uncouth man, said Mr. Mopes the hermit. You are another, said Mr. Traveler. The hermit, who was plainly in the habit of overawing his visitors with the novelty of his filth and his blanket and skewer, glared at his present visitor in some discomfiture and surprise. As if he had taken aim at him with a sure gun, and his piece had missed fire. Why do you come here at all? He asked, after a pause. Upon my life, said Mr. Traveler, I was made to ask myself that very question only a few minutes ago by a tinker too. As he glanced towards the gate in saying it, the hermit glanced in that direction likewise. Yes, he is lying on his back in the sunlight outside, said Mr. Traveler, as if he had been asked concerning the man, and he won't come in. For he says, and really very reasonably, what should I come in for? I can see a dirty man anywhere. You are an insolent person. Go away from my premises. Go, said the hermit, in an imperious and angry tone. Come, come, returned Mr. Traveler, quite undisturbed. This is a little too much. You are not going to call yourself clean? Look at your legs. And as to these being your premises, they are in far too disgraceful a condition to claim any privilege of ownership or anything else. The hermit bounced down from his window ledge and cast himself on his bed of soot and cinders. I am not going, said Mr. Traveler, glancing in after him. You won't get rid of me in that way. You had better come and talk. I won't talk, said the hermit, flouncing round to get his back towards the window. Then I will, said Mr. Traveler. Why should you take it ill that I have no curiosity to know why you live this highly absurd and highly indecent life? When I contemplate a man in a state of disease, surely there is no moral obligation on me to be anxious to know how he took it. After a short silence, the hermit bounced up again, and came back to the barred window. What? You are not gone? He said, affecting to have supposed that he was. Nor going, Mr. Traveler replied. I design to pass this summer day here. How dare you come, sir, upon my promises? The hermit was returning, when his visitor interrupted him. Really, you know, you must not talk about your premises. I cannot allow such a place as this to be dignified with the name of premises. How dare you, said the hermit, shaking his bars, come in at my gate, to taunt me with being in a diseased state. Why, Lord bless my soul, returned the other, very composedly, you have not the face to say that you are in a wholesome state. Do allow me again to call your attention to your legs. Scrape yourself anywhere with anything, and then tell me you are in a wholesome state. The fact is, Mr. Mopes, that you are not only a nuisance. A nuisance? Repeated the hermit, fiercely. What is a place in this obscene state of dilapidation but a nuisance? What is a man in your obscene state of dilapidation but a nuisance? Then, as you very well know, you cannot do without an audience, and your audience is a nuisance. You attract all the disreputable vagabonds and prowlers within 10 miles around by exhibiting yourself to them in that objectionable blanket and by throwing copper money among them and giving them drink out of those very dirty jars and bottles that I see in their stomachs need be strong. semicolon, and in short, said Mr. Traveler, summing up in a quietly and comfortably settled manner, you are a nuisance, and this kennel is a nuisance, and the audience that you cannot possibly dispense with is a nuisance, and the nuisance is not merely a local nuisance, because it is a general nuisance. To know that there can be such a nuisance left in civilization so very long after its time. Will you go away? I have a gun in here, said the hermit. Pooh! I have. Now, I put it to you. Did I say you had not? And as to going away, didn't I say I am not going away? You have made me forget where I was. I now remember that I was remarking on your conduct being a nuisance. Moreover, it is in the last and lowest degree inconsequent foolishness and weakness. Weakness? Echoed the hermit. Weakness, said Mr. Traveler, with his former comfortably settled final air. I weep, you fool? Cried the hermit. I, who have held to my purpose, and my diet, and my only bet there, all these years? The more the years, the weaker you, returned Mr. Traveler. Though the years are not so many as folks say, and as you willingly take credit for. The crust upon your face is thick and dark, Mr. Moats, but I can see enough of you through it to see that you are still a young man. Inconsequent foolishness is lunacy, I suppose? Said the hermit. I suppose it is very like it, answered Mr. Traveler. Do I converse like a lunatic? One of us two must have a strong presumption against him of being one, whether or no. Either the clean and decorously clad man, or the dirty and indecorously clad man. I don't say which. Why, you self-sufficient bear, said the hermit, not a day passes, but I am justified in my purpose by the conversations I hold here. Not a day passes, but I am shown, by everything I hear and see here, how right and strong I am in holding my purpose. Mr. Traveler, lounging easily on his billet of wood, took out a pocket pipe, and began to fill it. Now, that a man, he said, appealing to the summer sky as he did so, that a man even behind bars, in a blanket and skewer should tell me, that he can see, from day to day, any orders or conditions of men, women, or children, who can by any possibility teach him, that it is anything but the miserablest driveling for a human creature, to quarrel with his social nature not to go so far as to say, to renounce his common human decency, for that is an extreme case, or who can teach him that he can in any wise separate himself from his kind, and the habits of his kind, without becoming a deteriorated spectacle calculated to give the devil and perhaps the monkeys pleasure, is something wonderful. I repeat, said Mr. Traveler, beginning to smoke, the unreasoning hardihood of it is something wonderful even in a man with the dirt upon him an inch, or two thick behind bars in a blanket and skewer. The hermit looked at him irresolutely, and retired to his soot and cinders and lay down, and got up again, and came to the bars, and again looked at him irresolutely, and finally said with sharpness, I don't like tobacco. I don't like dirt, rejoined Mr. Traveler. Tobacco is an excellent disinfectant. We shall both be the better for my pipe. It is my intention to sit here through this summer day until that blessed summer sun sinks low in the west, and to show you what a poor creature you are through the lips of every chance wayfarer who may come in at your gate. What do you mean? Inquired the hermit with a furious air. I mean that yonder is your gate, and there are you, and here am I. I mean that I know it to be a moral impossibility that any person can stray in at that gate from any point of the compass, with any sort of experience, gained at first hand, or derived from another, that can confute me and justify you. You are an arrogant and boastful hero, said the hermit. You think yourself profoundly wise. Bah! Returned Mr. Traveler. Quietly smoking. There is little wisdom in knowing that every man must be up and doing, and that all mankind are made dependent on one another. You have companions outside, said the hermit. I am not to be imposed upon by your assumed confidence in the people who may enter. A depraved distrust, returned the visitor, compassionately raising his eyebrows. Of course belongs to your state, I can't help that. Do you mean to tell me you have no confederates? I mean to tell you nothing but what I have told you. What I have told you is that it is a moral impossibility that any son or daughter of Adam can stand on this ground that I put my foot on, or on any ground that mortal treads, and gainsay the healthy tenure on which we hold our existence. Which is, sneered the hermit, according to you, which is, returned the other, according to eternal providence, that we must arise, and wash our faces, and do our gregarious work and act and react on one another, leaving only the idiot and the palsied to sit blinking in the corner. Come, apostrophizing the gate. Open sesame. Show his eyes, and grieve his heart. I don't care who comes, for I know what must come of it. With that, he faced round a little on his billet of wood towards the gate. And Mr. Mopes, the hermit, after two or three ridiculous bounces of indecision at his bed and back again, submitted to what he could not help himself against, and coiled himself on his window ledge, holding to his bars and looking out rather anxiously. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.